I'd ask you to please turn with me to the Word of God, where we find the text in Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 to 6. The book of Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 to 6. That is page 670. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, the subject before us this morning is trusting in the Lord. And we're dealing with the issue of having true confidence in God. True confidence in God. While at the same time as exercising by faith true confidence in God, we are actively resisting the philosophy of depending upon humanistic values. We know in our own experience as the Lord's people, as Christians, that there is a tension, a constant tension in our lives, a tension between faith and the flesh. The flesh would have us make all our decisions ourselves and just live our lives according to our own understanding, our own wisdom. But that God-given faith that we have been so graciously provided with is a tension against this, a holy tension, whereupon it is reminding us, oh no, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And we need grace to work these things through in our life. We need God's help to fulfill, as believers, this exhortation, because our text provides us and presents us with a philosophy of life which is totally different from that of today's worldly wisdom. It's particularly challenging for our young people who have been converted, and we trust will be converted, because as they grow up in education, they are taught so much to depend upon themselves and present themselves as to be the most important, have self-confidence and image, and their right is all important for them. And so this humanistic philosophy of life is filtering through and being sown into the mind. Well, by God's grace, when we come to see ourselves as we really are, and we humble ourselves before the Almighty God, and we realize that in and of ourselves we are sinners, that we're unwise, we're foolish, we come to this text by faith and we say, yes, this is so wise, this is so true. Oh, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Well, friends, by way of introduction then, we need to place this foundation stone down first. This directive given to us from God is anti our fallen human nature. It is anti-worldly wisdom. It is, by contrast, an exercise of faith in the renewed heart under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, while it is impossible to follow this directive in our own strength, thankfully, it is possible with God's help. Please remember this morning that God never asks us to do something in which he is unwilling to provide us with the resources. Now, dear friends, some of you I know are walking through a sickness pathway. You are suffering. But God is not calling you to walk in a pathway whereupon he will not sustain you. He will not uphold you. Some of you, of us, are walking through a pathway of bereavement at this time. And God has so ordained in our life, at such a time in our life, that we will suffer a bereavement of the loss of loved ones. But God is not calling us into a pathway in which he will not sustain us, in which he will not uphold us. And God is perhaps calling some of you, I know, through pathways of trial, challenges, perhaps in the workplace or in your family. And they're big challenges for you. And you can't see any way through them. They're like huge mountains. They're like giants. But I want you to remember this morning, God is not calling you to go through any pathway in which he will not sustain you. Whereupon he is unwilling to provide you with the spiritual resources and wisdom that you need to walk through that situation. But we have this tension, don't we? We struggle with the problems of the flesh and unbelief at times. I remember, you will know, it came to my mind as I was thinking about this, and you will know the story well. When Jesus was here upon earth, he was asked to heal a sick child. But in doing so, he told the sick child's father, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. And this dear man of God said, Lord, I do believe, but help thou my unbelief. You see this tension. Lord, I do trust in the Lord, but I have this battle going on all the while. And this cry vividly displays to us in an honest way the challenge of trusting in God at all times, the tension between belief and unbelief. And God calls us to wholehearted belief. And we need God's help then to overcome in the battle against unbelief. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The Apostle Paul, he was suffering much at the time, but he said at that time, I can do all things, whatever is before me in this future year, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now you notice there very carefully how the Lord, Paul is looking forward to the future. He's trusted in the Lord, but doing so conscious that he can only go forward as he trusts in the Lord through Christ which strengthens him. So God is calling us then this morning in this text to a very serious application of the mind and the heart, whereby we commit ourselves, as it were, consecrate ourselves by faith this morning, unreservedly, to him and to his word and to his ways. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now, the word trust here in this verse actually has the meaning of a bold, actually a carefree confidence in God. It's a very rich word. But we can't have a bold, a carefree confidence in God without God-given faith, without believing in God, believing in who he really is, the great, the mighty God of wisdom and love and mercy, the God who is just and right in all his ways. But this trust, you know, which is so committed upon the Lord, unreservedly and wholeheartedly, is viewed by the world as being folly. As being folly. How foolish to put all your eggs in one basket. And the world sometimes looks upon a Christian in a crisis, and perhaps they see a calm demeanor. They have cast all their care upon the Lord, knowing that he does really care for them. And they understand that true faith and trust in God has no back door. It only looks forward. Friends, remember that this morning as we look forward to the future with God. There is no back door. We are those that look forward by faith, trusting in God. But the skeptic sometimes says by response, how can you trust in a God that you have never seen? How can you put all your trust in one person for salvation? One God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. Surely you must have a backup in case God fails you. How can you be so sure the word of God can be trusted as true? In any case, if God is a God of love, Why has this happened to you? Why has that happened to you? So an unbeliever perhaps looks on with a mixture of pity, disdain, and even contempt at wholehearted belief in God. And this was the case with David and Goliath. You remember that well-known story how David went to do battle with that huge giant Goliath. And there we read in that well-known account how David just came to Goliath with his own sling and a stone. But Saul had armed David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head. He armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he thought to go, but he was unwilling to go because he had not proved it with this armor. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. He took all that armor off him, all that protection off him. And it's a symbol of relying upon what man can do, all the metal of man's protection. And David went to Goliath, and by faith in God, he took all that armor off. Now, we're seeing this as a picture here this morning, just in picture language. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And we read that when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. He despised him. He's a youth. Who is this man, this young man coming to me? And he was most offended. He hasn't even got any armor on. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, unto the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. That's your dependence. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. Well, David went forward. He won that battle. He killed that great giant because of his great faith in his God. David discards the man-made armor, and it was a practical statement of confidence in God. But he's disdained by the Philistine for so doing. But in response, David makes this wonderful statement to the glory of God. David's testimony says to us this morning, despite whatever the unbelieving world is saying, God calls his people to total trust in him, and they will undoubtedly have the victory through Christ. God is calling you this morning to a simple trust in his word. That is what Christianity is about. It's faith in God's word. It's faith in God. It's faith in God's way. We cannot intellectually argue someone into the kingdom of God. By the same token, we can't prove God by our efforts. Faith is required. Faith in God. And we must never take this away. Our text says to us this morning, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now, the word heart here in this verse is not just limited to the emotions. The word heart here includes the mind, the will, and the emotions. So this trust here, which is being exhorted, is primarily a commitment of the will by faith to rest upon the truth of God's word through the mind. It's an active action of the will and the mind working together, and the emotions are then, as a consequence, peacefully affected by such dependence upon God's word. And so it is the mind, the will, the heart, all working together, and the emotions are affected peaceably thereby. So the word of God says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee." It's not just an emotional experience, this. It's an activity of the mind. We are to, with a commitment of the will, engage our mind upon God. Engage our mind upon his word. Engage our mind upon the wonders of redemption in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Lord will give us his perfect peace if our mind is stayed upon him, because we trust in him. Now, because this trust is constantly battling against the humanistic philosophy of life, it can become overshadowed at times. A cloud can come over the sun of this blessed trust, and therefore this trust needs to be watered regularly through the truth of God's word. It needs to be regularly watered through worship. It needs to be regularly watered through prayer. It needs to be regularly watered through fellowship with God's people. See, trusting in the Lord is a constant exercise. We are not passive recipients of trust. We ourselves are called to trust with our whole being. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now then, in this trusting this morning, there needs to be a constant reflection upon the glorious attributes of God. There's nothing like this to help us in our trust. I was speaking to someone, I think it was on Tuesday evening, about this issue of how often in the Word of God we find men and women of God who are struggling, perhaps with issues of doubt, actually put down this foundation stone in their faith of the character of God. So, for example, the psalmist Asaph in Psalm 73, when he's struggling with envy, says, "As for God, God is good to Israel." And he lays down this foundation stone. He takes refuge in an aspect of the glorious character of God. And that will be most helpful to us this morning. Constant reflection upon the glorious attributes of God will help us in our trust. It will water our trust. It will help. It will nourish our trust in God. And then there needs to be also constant reflection upon the glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. Oh, meditate upon his wonderful love. Meditate upon his wonderful compassion. Meditate upon his wonderful intercession. Meditate upon the fullness of redemption, the fact that it is finished. There's no other work that has to be done. It's all in Christ, all that he has done for us. Meditate upon his wisdom and knowledge, the one in whom I've hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Oh, another way in which our trust is nourished, not only through reflection upon the glorious attributes of God, and not only upon constant reflection upon the glory of our Savior Jesus Christ, but also, friend, a constant reflection upon the promises of God. Not one of God's promises will fail you. Not one. It's interesting to see with the testimony of God's servant David again, if we turn to Psalm 56, there is a remarkable testimony there of what I'm trying to portray of true trust. And David is afraid. He's very frightened in his situation. And he says in verse 3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Now you may be afraid of the future. You may be afraid of what's going to develop in your own life. And there's things in your life that you might be fearing this morning. Well, here we have the answer. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Now, you'll notice here in this psalm the aspect of how David trusted. So in verse 4 we read, "In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. Oh, I'm putting my trust in God's word, and then I'm putting my trust in God's character. In God, the faithful God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And then again, in verse 10, in God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. Oh, it's a faith which is based upon God's word. And then it's also a faith based upon God's divine care and understanding. So in verse 8, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book? Oh, friends, you have tears. There's hidden tears. There's something perhaps going on in your life. You can't even speak to anyone about it. And there's hidden tears in your heart. They're not wasted tears. God has put all your tears into his bottle, into his bottle of remembrance. Are they not in his book? And then, friends, David's faith, his trust, was not only based upon God's word and upon God's divine care and understanding and compassion, but also upon God's faithfulness. And so in verse 9, when I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back, for this I know, God is for me. God is for me. God is on my side, because I'm trusting in him. And then finally, verse 13, it's based on the security in God. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Oh, his trust is based upon the word of God, the divine care of God, the faithfulness of God, and the security of God in deliverance and in salvation. You remember also with David how when he was threatened with death by his colleagues because Ziklag had been burnt down and their wives and families and children had been taken. And we read that David encouraged himself in the Lord and he inquired of the Lord. He went to the Lord. Oh, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. This is a trust then which is exercised in the good and in the bad times. A trust which is exercised in times of prosperity and times of adversity. A trust which really believes the eternal God is their refuge and underneath are the everlasting arms. Many years ago, the Golden Gate Bridge was being built over in USA, but it was an incredibly dangerous exercise. In those days, there was not the health and safety issues, quite rightly so, that there are today. And 26 men were killed within the first 12 months of its construction. And a tremendous fear undoubtedly developed among the workers, a fear that actually froze their activity. So the production of the bridge came to a halt. But then the construction company came up with a solution. They fitted a huge net under the construction area so that if one fell, they would be caught in the net. The comfort of the net encouraged the men to work with confidence. Now, you may be fearing the future. Maybe God is calling you to take a step and you say, I can't take that step because what happens if I fall, or what happens if I do this or that? And because we fear falling and we fear failing, we do not walk ahead by faith. And the fear overwhelms us. But God has provided you with a net of grace. Yes, you will not be perfect. There will be things that you do which are wrong, sadly. This will be the case until we get to glory. We're not perfect people. But always remember, there is a net of grace. The net of God's sovereign grace that we fall into. And it's underneath are the everlasting arms. It's a picture here of the wonderful security there is in God. Oh, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Thine own understanding which looks upon things with limited vision. Oh, don't lean to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Now, this directive from the Lord is one which needs to be constantly in our minds. If our trust in the Lord is to be entire, it must be exclusively upon him. So we are taught here that God's principles are our sole basis of confidence. All our decision making must flow from the principles of his word. Now we use our understanding because God has given us minds to think and to discern. But that understanding and that discernment in our minds has its basis, its formative principles in the Word of God. All our decision-making must flow from the principles of God's Word. And those principles are beautifully described for us in Psalm number 1, if you turn with me to Psalm number 1. And you will see there the picture of the man of God who understands these essential principles in our understanding. So, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So where is this man's counsel? Where is his wisdom? Where is his decision making? Where is his understanding? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And what is the outcome? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It's speaking there about growing in grace and spiritually in the soul primarily. So this man's decision making, his conduct, he's not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not standing in the way of sinners. He's not sitting in the seat of the scornful. Oh, friends, this is a big challenge for us. Perhaps we've got a big need in our life. And Satan is tempting us. And look, if you do this situation, you'll enhance your prospects for this particular situation. And he's tempting you to do something that the world would be doing. Oh, maybe exaggerate your qualifications or whatever it might be to make it look so good. And this is the counsel of the ungodly. And we start with this in our mind, and then the next thing, we're standing in the way of sinners, and then we're sitting in the seat of the scornful. It's gradual development into the wrong way. But by contrast, if we are going to trust in the Lord with all our heart by faith, our delight will be in the law of the Lord, in God's purpose, in God's value, in God's standards. And we will be, as it were, saturated in it. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's the ideal. We're far from that, sadly, in being saturated through the word of God. But nevertheless, this is the objective. This is the ideal. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And the outcome will be stability. The outcome will be fruit. The outcome will be someone that does not wither, even in the difficult times. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He does it unto the Lord. When the Lord directs us to lean not to our own understanding, he is not calling us to forget, though, the need of an understanding mind. Rather, not leaning upon our understanding, our own understanding, is a warning against leaning on an understanding that is not submitted to and molded by the Word of God. It's a warning about an understanding that forgets God's Word and relies upon your instincts. This is something which is happens so often. It's happened to me over the years. My intuition, my instinct might say something, but actually, that actually is not molded properly to the Word of God. I was reading a while ago about a pilot who was on his first solo flight, and he flew into dense cloud. At the same time, the wind speed increased, and the little plane was being tossed about. And his instincts told him he was in a dive. He was actually going downwards. That's what his instincts told him. And he must pull up out of this dive. But actually, when he looked at his instruments, the instruments told him he was flying level. So he had a choice between his instincts and his understanding. His instincts told him one thing, but his understanding of flying, that where he'd been trained to look at his instruments, told him another. And in the event, the pilot flew by his instruments. And in doing so, he eventually landed safely. And there's a practical application here for us to make the Word of God our instrument panel. And even though we're going through a storm, and even though we're being buffeted about in life, look at your instrument panel. To follow your instrument panel, the Word of God, because that's the only thing sometimes which is steady in our life. The only thing which is telling us the truth. The instrument panel of God's Word. And we have to keep our eye by faith on the instrument panel. But we hasten on towards conclusion. It says here in our text this morning, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now from this instruction we learn three important points. Seek him first in all thy ways. Seek him first in all thy ways. This means to acknowledge his lordship over our lives. This is one of the surest signs of you being a believer this morning. He is the Lord Jesus, the Lord of your life. Acknowledge his claim over our lives. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Acknowledge his provisions toward us. He is the giver of every good and perfect thing. Acknowledge his sovereignty over us. All our times are in his hand. All events at his command. Acknowledge his grace and mercy in Christ Jesus toward us. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Acknowledge our dependence upon him. In all our ways, acknowledge him. Seek his honor in all thy ways. We see this remarkably fulfilled in the book of Daniel, where Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, three young men who were thrown into the fiery furnace rather than bow down to an idol, rather than deny the name of the Lord. In all their ways, they acknowledged the Lord, and the Lord was with them. And the ropes were burned around them, but they were not burned. Their clothes were not burned. Their hair was not burned. Only the Satan's ropes were burnt away, and they had freedom to walk in that trial, to walk in that furnace, in the very presence of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because in all their ways they acknowledged him, and they sought to honor the Lord in all their ways. Oh, acknowledge the Lord as your guide in all your ways. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. He shall direct thy paths. This is God's promise to you this morning. If you will wholeheartedly trust in him, and you will acknowledge him wholeheartedly in all of your life, and you will wholeheartedly seek him in prayer and follow him, oh, he shall direct thy paths. This is the promise to people then who wholeheartedly trust in the Lord. They examine their aims and their motives for the honor of the Lord. Is this what you're doing this morning? We study his word. We trust in a spirit of meekness. We are willing to be molded by it. We read it thoughtfully to be guided by it. This is the word of God. So we seek him in prayer. We submit to his will in our life. We seek to bring honor and glory to the Lord in our life. We study his word with meekness, willing to be molded by it, seriously reading it. There was a man you know who used to be guided by simply opening the Word of God on a page. And one day he carried this on, and And when he opened the page, it didn't say what he wanted it to say, that particular text. So he closed the Bible and opened it again. And the word was, Judas went out and hung himself. Go and do likewise. Well, this is a true story. And this is such a foolish way to use the word of God. And some people do this. They unwisely use the word of God. But we need to seriously read the word of God, discern the word of God. And those who use wise discernment submit to the providential overrulings of the Lord. They ask God to guide them through the preaching of his word. They desire a clear conscience and inner peace over their decision making. They understand that the Lord does direct our paths through his word, but we need to have that submission. We need to have that meekness in our heart. We need that faith to go down on our knees and say, Thy will be done, O Lord, in earth as it is in heaven. Because there are some things that God perhaps will not allow in our lives, and we'll never know the reason while here upon earth. But by faith, if we simply trust in the Lord, when we get to glory and we see our Savior and we're in the very presence of our Heavenly Father, all these issues in life that caused us perhaps many, many questions, they'll all flee away in the glorious presence of God, and we will have eternal fulfillment and divine God-given satisfaction in heaven under the wonderful power of God, a God-given eternal satisfaction and peace, and all the questions will flow away and be lost forever, and we'll have a complete, utter peace in the very presence of God. Well, the subject this morning, trusting in the Lord, is dealing with the issue then of having total confidence in God. And by at the same time, we are resisting the philosophy of living with a dependence upon humanistic values. It's an exercise of faith in the renewed heart under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. It's impossible to follow this directive in our own strength, but we can do this. It is possible with God's help. The hymn writer said, Trust him when dark doubts assail thee. Trust him when thy strength is small. Trust him when to simply trust him seems the hardest thing of all. Trust him, he is ever faithful. Trust him, for his will is best. Trust him, for the heart of Jesus is the only place of rest. Amen.